Kia ora, this program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Wellington Access Radio, make your voice heard.
August Falsheroff. Thank you for tuning in to Capital Irish today. You are tuning in to Access Radio 106.1 FM. We come to you every Sunday morning at midday from Wellington, the big capital of New Zealand. And we're delighted to be able to do this thanks to our sponsors, Susie and Peter McGuinness, Wellington Irish Trust, and of course the Hutt Valley Irish Society. So, support them, a big hello to them. Anytime you meet anybody from there, say, oh yeah, I know about you. You give all that money to keep those that Irish programme on the road. So what we hope to do in this programme is bring you a bit of news about Ireland, what's happening over there, Irish things happening here in New Zealand, or in my case today, speak to somebody who's had a huge influence on Irish culture here in New Zealand. I have a guest in the studio with me, and I'll just tell you her name to start with. It's Trish Budding, or Patricia Budding. I'm going to tell you a lot more about her in a minute, after I tell you about what's going on in Ireland. So I read the paper just before coming in this evening, and one of the big things covered in the Irish Times today was the UEFA National League. Ireland versus Ukraine was played in Aviva Stadium last night. And the photographs of the stadium were incredible, all covered in Ukrainian flags, as on all occasions involving Ukraine nowadays. It was a night of high emotion at Aviva. And of course, since the Russian invasion in February, 33,000 refugees have landed in Ireland. And 2,000 refugees were given free tickets for the match last night. And I hate to tell you that Ukraine beat Ireland. 1-0. So anyhow, it was a great night for the Ukrainians. And we're so happy for them that they love Ireland. There were great big banners, photographs of them. Thank you, Ireland. And as I said, flags everywhere and mascots. They had their own mascots. And it was just very touching, the whole thing. And the only other bit of news that I could find that it's not too dramatic, of course, is that there's a fifth wave of COVID just in Ireland at the moment. A bit like here, the numbers are rising and rising. But of course, it's a new strain as well. So, people are a bit fed up with it at this stage. My sister was telling me nobody's bothering with masks and everybody's just in the pubs and the clubs and whatnot. And I think there's a bit of fatigue around isolation and all that sort of thing. So leave the rest until afterwards. A very, very warm welcome to Trish Budding.
Thank you very much, Alice.
From the Kildun School of Irish Dancing.
It was, yes. And I'm very pleased to be here to talk to you about what I've done in New Zealand.
Trish came to New Zealand in 1982, which she tells me is 40 years ago this year. And, you know, I remember meeting her when we came in 1985. And you came with your husband and two young children. And it wasn't for your job you came, but for your husband's job. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. Yes, I came because Ed's an astronomer and he got a job at Carter Observatory in Wellington.
Yeah.
So
off you came?
Off we came. It was a big decision, but we decided to give it a go. And we got the blessing of his mum and my mum. And my mum came out with us for the first 6 months. Yeah. And we made the journey and
started a new life
in New Zealand. Yeah.
So, Trish, I'd just like to go back a wee bit. You're of Irish heritage, of course, yourself, even though we can hear you speak with a Manchester accent. You were born in Manchester, but your father was from?
My father was from a place called Eclair, which is quite near to Tubbercurry on the border or in Sligo, but very near to Mayo.
Yeah.
So he came to England in his 30s and settled in England and was a contractor.
Yeah.
Married mum, had me, and apparently one of his workers had a couple of daughters who did Irish dancing. So he said one day that Billy Shep, one of his employees, had asked, would I like to do Irish dancing? So off I went.
At the ripe old age of six.
At the ripe old age of six, which is a good time to start at any hobby, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I had grown up listening to Irish music, so
yes.
I knew that people danced, but I really hadn't seen any competitive dancing at all.
And in Manchester, it was quite strong, the culture there, the Irish culture.
Oh, very strong.
And you had good teachers?
Yes, I went, I was taught by the Three Granger sisters, which, well, they're very well known in the north of England.
Really?
And, well, they were very, very well well known in Ireland
as well.
So
you had a lucky break there.
I had a very lucky break with the teachers that taught me, and Regina also became our neighbour, so that was even luckier.
Private lessons for any time of day or night.
We became very good family friends, yeah.
And Trish, we'll just move on from there. When you were obviously in your late teens, and you had gone to all the competitions and probably had a house full of medals and cups, I imagine.
I did. I was fairly successful in the competitions in Manchester.
Yeah.
And I competed in, well, all the big cities in England, London,
did
Birmingham,
you?
Newcastle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Went over to the All Ireland every year, danced at the Father Matthew. It was held at the Father Matthew.
In Dublin?
In Dublin.
Right.
At the Father Matthew Hall.
Imagine that. Yeah.
And then they used to have a cross-channel championship. And then, you know, the World Championships was started 50 years ago, and I actually competed at the first World Championship.
Did you? And where was that held?
And that was in
Dublin, probably.
Yes, yeah. I think it was in Dublin.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Trish, I mean, with all the competition and that, I mean, your poor mother, she probably spent a lot of time dressmaking. And did the mums make the dresses in those days, or was it?
Mum didn't actually. She was quite a good dressmaker, but she didn't make any of the costumes. There was another couple of mums who were
made the costumes
and did the embroidery.
Right.
And we had our solo costumes and we had the class costume for group dancing, but they weren't anything like they are.
Not elaborate like today.
nothing like they are today. I've seen so many changes in dancing
you
costumes
have.
Over the years.
We'll come to that in a wee minute, but I just want to get to the fact of why, when you finished competing, you decided to do all your teaching. Lots of certificates to do when you want to become an Irish dancing teacher. You don't just walk out there and say, I'm going to set up a school and do Irish.
No, we had, there is an exam that students, dancing students, have to go through to become a teacher. And I don't think it's changed very much at all over the years, to be honest. That's, you have to learn the three Cayley books, we call them, of the traditional Cayley group dancing.
Mm.
You have to know so many dances at different
grand
levels. And
to pass it all.
To pass
and,
it all.
And when you came to New Zealand, I think before we talk about you coming to New Zealand, because I know that when you came, the first thing you did was you went to the Fish at the Wellington Irish Society and introduced yourself to all these teachers who must have been delighted to find somebody from another place coming to with a new injection of enthusiasm to the dancing scene here.
Well, I must admit that the people that we met at the Fesh made us very welcome straight away. May and Peter Gregan and Rose and Joe Winkles, they were the first people, and Margaret Grealish. And then the dancing teachers who I had written to introduce the fact that I was coming to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So there was Eileen Doricott and Gay Collin, Kathleen Gagan. They just made me feel very, very welcome.
So you were, they took you with open arms. There was no think, oh, she might be better than us or anything like that. You were
No, I don't think so. I think they really wanted to know, what they were doing fine. Yeah. And, you know, did I have ideas for what their latest costumes was, or what were the new steps, or
and
whatever.
And that's so important, isn't it?
Bringing it is
in
so
new,
important.
Fresh blood and moving with the times. But before we carry on, I want to play a piece of music, and I think you're going to enjoy this as well, because it's a beautiful one by a man called Kelly Joe Phillips. Kelly Joe came here in 2013 as Jerry Paul organized his concerts. But he's an American. He was American, and he started as a jazz musician before finding a home among the blues and the folk sounds. And he sang and composed all his own stuff, and he collaborated with lots of other musicians, including Lucinda Williams, Madeleine Perrot, Reeb Williams, Warren Maxwell, and Jerry, of course. But sadly, he passed away last week, and that's why I want to play one of his lovely songs called Goodbye to Sorrow. Now, Steve Earle, who, of course, is very well known for the Galway Girl, described Kelly Joe's voice as smoky, lonesome, painful, yet somehow comforting. And he lets you know you're not alone, when you're blue, that is. So I felt he couldn't have described him more accurately. So let's sit back and have a listen to Goodbye to Sorrow from Kelly Joe.
In the eyes of the Lord, I am redeemed. He has purified my blood and washed me clean. I have said goodbye to sorrow as I lay before the cross. His goodness and His mercy saved a child that was lost. In the eyes of the Lord, I am in the word of the Lord, I have a home. I don't have to fight temptation on my own. Sending prayers on up to heaven through the wonder of His name brings a fire into my spirit. Ooh, while the blessings fall like rain. In the word of the Lord, mercy, I am free. He has loosened all the chains that bound me. Now I raise my hands in glory to give my life to prayer. My soul is being helped along by faith in His great care. Through His love, by His mercy, I am free. Well, my God, He came to earth, a humble man. Well, it's part of a divine and master plan. When they crucified our Savior, they set the captives free. Well, then death will lose dominion over you. My God came to earth, a humble man. have said goodbye to sorrow as I lay before the cross. He is goodness and his mercy saved a child that was lost. In the eyes of the Lord I am redeemed. In the word of the Lord I have a home. Yeah, yeah, I am redeemed.
Aw, thank you for listening to Kelly Jo Phelps, and may his gentle soul rest in peace. So I've got Trish budding with me today. I'm Alice Paul, and you are listening to Capital Irish on 106.1 FM. As I said, coming from Wellington every Sunday, hoping to give you a little bit of Irish flavour for the day. And I hope you've all got your tickets for The Irish Are Coming. The big signs everywhere in Wellington saying The Irish Are Coming. So we've got our tickets for the rugby. I'm very excited. Hoping to get the face painted. That'll be great. I saw somebody a couple of weeks ago wearing a green, white and gold mask. I must have a look and see who makes those or where I can buy one of those. So that would be funny. Mm. But Trish and I have been talking. Trish Budding from the Kildon School of Irish Dancing, who set it up, but now is obviously moved to a different school.
I gave up the Kildon School.
Yes.
But I help Laura with the, you know, the beginners and the intermediates.
Yes. And so we were just talking. I mean, Trish has taught for almost 40 years now. And, of course, that's kept our culture, our dancing alive in New Zealand. But not only that, it's put it on the world map because she's had winners, top winners all over the world. Right, Trish?
I have. I've been very fortunate, really, with the dancers that have come into the Wellington Irish Society twice a week, dedicated dancers. A few young men, but mainly girls, and we've been able to travel extensively, really.
So, what countries have you travelled to with the dancers?
Once you become a champion in New Zealand, you really want to, put your toe somewhere else.
Yes.
And so it's good to get over to Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne for those competitions, but then the North Americans, North American Championship is the one to try for.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So we've been to Montreal, Boston, Toronto. We've been to so many places, San Diego.
My goodness. And, wow. And would that have been quite expensive?
It's quite expensive, but in those days, if you remember, Alice, the girls were able to fundraise by dancing in the pubs.
That's right.
Molly Malone's were great sponsors.
Yeah.
The Green Man was a great sponsor.
Yeah.
D4 just started with great sponsors.
The
girls
used to
dance at weddings.
They
and,
were.
You know, 21sts.
Yeah.
So they'd either, get a fee or they'd put the hat round or they'd dance everywhere on St. Patrick's Day. So they did a lot of fundraising.
It did.
But it did cost. It did cost.
Yes.
But, then the ones who qualified were dancing at the World and many people know Aislinn Ryan, who has got the highest placing ever of a New Zealand dancer. She was second placing in the World in 1985 before she became a dancer in Riverdance and then became one of the lead dancers in Riverdance.
My goodness. So you actually were the person who taught Aislinn.
Well, I helped her along the way, but she was a very, 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 very
she was a lovely dancer
talented.
From the moment she was five.
She was. She didn't need to be told to practice. She's just a gifted person, yes.
And of course then you had another Charlotte.
Charlotte actually danced for Lord of the Dance.
Oh, okay, different, yeah.
Yes.
But Trish, I just wanted to say to you, because I'm always aware, Doug Sullivan, who's in the in the head office doing all the technical work will surely tell me when we're running out of time. And you won't believe how quickly the time goes here when we're chatting away. But I would really like to have a quick chat about Michael Flatley, how he changed Irish dancing for all of you.
Yes, he did. I think it was 1984 when he first danced with June Butler for the Eurovision Song Contest.
That's right.
And the year after the show came out.
Yeah.
And it increased the numbers globally of little children who wanted to do Irish dancing. Everybody wanted to do Irish dancing. They wanted to do river dance. They wanted to dance with hard shoes. And
straight away,
the mothers told you, well, they can do it now because they've seen it on the telly and they've been dancing along with it on the telly. So they can do
get
it.
Get to work.
So get to work. And this is what they wanted to do. So
goodness.
Our numbers were good, but they increased. And it became more popular. And my own daughter was... and her friends were young teenagers at the time, so
that's right. Esther,
Irish dancing.
They looked so glamorous. It became quite glamorous. Sexy outfits and whatnot.
They
really did look like they were, you know, on the world stage. I remember them coming to the little theatre when we had our concerts, and people were coming to see them.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
The Irish dancing. Oh, you're having. I'd say. No problem selling tickets. We're having Irish dancing.
Yes,
so
yes.
You know it was incredible
because they were able to dance the river dance steps.
The music changed
and everybody recognised the music.
That's
And they wanted to see the girls not in wigs and not in heavily embroidered costumes, but in little, nice,
that's easy to dance.
That's right. Mm. And the girls loved dancing in it. Mm. It was freedom for them.
I know.
And it was definitely the type of dancing to be doing.
So, have we got 3 minutes left? We've got 3 minutes left. I think we need to talk about Irish dancing. But so you have seen it from your own when you're 6 years old right through to now when it's on the world stage. And it's been good for Ireland.
Oh, and without a doubt.
Like New Zealand has the All Blacks, we've got the dancing.
That's right. And dancing to be proud of.
More athletic.
More athletic. It is.
And that feet work is a footwork, I should say. It's just fantastic.
It is fantastic. And I would say that there are two schools in Wellington now, and there are several teachers in some of the schools. But it's thriving in Wellington.
That's great.
The numbers are very good at the moment. The beginners class and so my own three grandchildren are dancing. Three grandchildren
and
who
Esther's
love it.
Esther's teaching as well.
And
your daughter,
Esther's along teaching, and that's the main thing about Irish dancing, I think, too. It fosters friends that are friends for life.
Yes. And it's like a family.
It's definitely a whanau. It's definitely your Irish family.
Yeah.
Home here. And then you can connect with people all over the world.
Fantastic,
all over the world.
Isn't
so.
It? Yeah. Well, yeah. Trish, I have to say, and I'm sorry that we're running out of time, that for what you've given to Irish culture and to the Irish people here in New Zealand is just fantastic. And I mean, I can't imagine the hours you've put in, and you certainly don't become a millionaire by teaching Irish dancing.
The Wellington Irish Society was my second home. I used to spend about twice a week, 3 hours, Monday to Thursday, regularly.
Yes.
For years.
Thank you for giving that to the...
It was
my pleasure.
Irish I loved
community.
It.
It's something that generations to come will always appreciate. And we have, a great gratitude to you for doing that. And it's been lovely to have you here today to share just a little bit of what that has been like for you.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you very much
indeed. But as
Thank
I say,
you.
We could have done with 3 hours, not 20. Other things that are happening in New Zealand is, of course, the There is a concert coming up on the 29th of June, and it's called the T-Bone Concert. Look it up. Jerry Paul's part of it, and it's in the San Fran here in Cuba Street. Tickets still available. It should be a whopper of a concert. A lot of bits of, you know, great, great night. But we're going to end up with another great singer, an Irish singer, who was a member of the Voice Squad in Ireland, Phil Callery. And Phil performed all over Europe, USA, and of course Ireland, with his two colleagues. And he lived in Dunlavin in County Wicklow, but it was originally from Dublin. He dedicated his life to traditional Irish music, a bit like Trish dedicated her life to traditional or to Irish dancing. And he is, you know, sadly passed away last week, but he's left a fabulous, fabulous collection of Irish songs. And we'd like to just go out on The Parting Glass, because that's one he's most famous for in Ireland. And it's been lovely to have been with you, all your listeners today. Don't forget, you can pick us up on the podcast and like us on Facebook, please. And if you have any queries or anything like that about your passports, Irish embassies here in Wellington, just look them up, you Google them. Peter Ryan's only too happy to help you. And we'd like to thank Doug for doing the technician's work today. And of course, I listened to our own Adele Sweeney last week. She's heading off to get married in August. Wish her the very, very best. We're very lucky to have a great crew of people here, and you have a different person every week bringing you things about Ireland. So slán agus beannacht.
Of all the money that e'er I had, I spent it in good company, and all the harm I've ever done, alas, it was to none but me. And all that I've done for want of wit, to memory now I can't recall. So fill to me the parting glass. Good night and joy be to you all. If I had money enough to spend and leisure time to sit awhile,
you've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team. You've been listening to Capital Irish on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM, thanks to the generosity of our sponsors. We couldn't be here without them. Our sponsors are Wellington Irish Trust, Susie and Peter McGuinness, and the Hutt Valley Irish Society. A very big thank you from all of us on the Capital Irish team.